Bosnia-Herzegovina is a country I came to know in 1993 when a beautiful, quiet teenaged girl started working with me at a fairground in my home city. She told me she had been smuggled out of the country by being strapped to the underbelly of a United Nations vehicle for 3 days. Her family's whereabouts were unknown. For obvious reasons, her story always stuck with me and intrigued me to discover why she longed for a country and a people capable of committing some of the most disturbing crimes against humanity. Overseeing much of those crimes was Radovan Karadzic, who was president of the Bosnian Serb administration during the 3.5-year Bosnian War. He is said to have been responsible for initiating the siege of Sarajevo and ordering the 1995 Srebrenica genocide.
Karadzic has failed to demonstrate.
Last month, the International Residual Mechanism for Criminal Tribunals, an international court established by the United Nations to deal with war crime allegations from the former Yugoslavia, increased his 40-year sentence to life.
Yes, it's very big difference because...
Manvisa is the curator of the War and Genocide Museum in the southern city of Mostar, which was heavily damaged by the war.
If they have 40 years, they'll be soon outside when we're alive. I think that's important for victims of them, for people from the Srebrenica, yes.
A 5-judge panel at the criminal tribunals decided that it was unreasonable and plainly unjust for Radovan Karadzic to receive only a 40-year sentence, given the sheer scale and systematic cruelty of his crimes. For example, more than 8,000 Muslim men and boys were killed in the July 1995 massacre in and around the eastern town of Srebrenica. Karadzic and his lawyers say his words were twisted during the trial and that prosecutors unfairly blackened his name.
For the crimes listed in counts,
the international courts have brought charges against individuals from every ethnicity and nationality represented in the conflict. Manvisa hopes such cases continue to be tried.
Yes, like the blood from the war.
As curator of this museum, she knows very well many of the horrific stories of that time, but also experienced her own.
I was 3 years old when war started, and I live in one small city near to Mostar. Father is been in concentration camp. Mother stay with us, but she's raped in the war, and me and my younger sister saw that. One brother is missing in the war. We never found him. I know, I remember really bad things. Different mass grave in different town.
Manvisa and her sister didn't recognize their emancipated father when he was finally released from the concentration camp 9 months later, and her family continues to search the country's mass graves for any remains of their uncle.
Yes, he has memories only from the pictures.
I met Irvin at a restaurant in the back streets of Sarajevo's old town. From the 5th of April 1992 to the 29th of February 1996, the city was besieged by the Bosnian Serb army. The 1,425-day siege was the longest of any capital city in the history of modern warfare. Irvin is a tour guide in the city, which still bears many visible scars from the war. He was born here and remembers his childhood in the former Yugoslavia fondly.
Yugoslavia was quite a different communist socialist country than you might usually hear. By the public television, you had Transformers, Ninja Turtles, so you had the Western cartoons, Volkswagen, Coca-Cola had factories here. Yugoslavia was not, let's say, very closed society or something like that. So it basically went from being this in, let's say, 80s and just hosting the Winter Games in 84 to a war, one of the most brutal wars in Europe in the last 100 years.
Yugoslavia was made up of 6 republics comprising different ethnic groups and religions. Its breakup in the 1990s also resulted in a brief conflict in Slovenia and a lengthy war in Croatia. Croatian Catholics, Bosnian Muslims, and Serbian Orthodox found themselves turning to those with similar ethnicities and religions across the region for safety and solidarity. This changed the demographics of the Balkans.
People usually went to the areas where the majority were of their ethnic religion, regardless of the, like, if they were either Muslims or Orthodox or Catholics, because probably they were afraid for their life, or they couldn't maybe find the jobs, or they had problems with the local population. So there was a lot of these demographic changes.
Today, in Bosnia-Herzegovina, that division is reinforced in the country's constitution, which states the presidency must be a 3-member elected body, representing a Serb, a Croat, and a Bosnian, One member is then designated as chairperson every 8 months. This has not helped to reunify the country, says Irvin.
I think 2-3 years ago when they went to meet Angela Merkel in Berlin, they had to have 3 different limousines. They couldn't share a limousine together.
For the crimes listed in counts 3.
While these war crime cases and their verdicts are important to everyone across the former Yugoslavia, they weigh differently on each. The division still very much present in Bosnia-Herzegovina could present a worrying consequence for its future.
I think it's important that you have an official verdict behind events that happened. It's accepting the responsibility because you have this denial or still the people that were verdicted for war crimes, they are still celebrated as heroes. So unless you accept the events that happened, regardless of the ethnic religious side, there can't be much rebuilding of the peace.
The American Spanish philosopher George Santayana once said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Never have those haunting words meant so much. Natalie Carney, DW, Sarajevo.